Colorful
Radio.
Hi, welcome back to Colorful Events. I'm Sinai Flery, and I'm joined in the studio by Patrick Vernon, who's going to be talking to us about the fund that he set up regarding the Windrush generation. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning to you.
How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, so could you give us a little bit of background as to who you are and why you decided to set up the Windrush Justice Fund?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been involved in for many years around community activism. I've been a former councillor in Hackney, and also I did a lot of work around the history of the black community in Britain. So I've done various things like 100 Great Black Britons. For the last 10 years, I've been working with a number of people to campaign for a national day called Windrush Day, which the government has agreed to last summer, which is great, even though it arrived in the context of the hostile environment and the Windrush scandal. So, but we have to accept that we've got that. But in April, I launched a petition against government because even though there were lots of media stories and The Guardian had done lots of stories profiling individuals affected by being undocumented and not accessing benefits, not accessing pensions, being deported illegally, it was very... not many people in the community were open to it. They just thought it was just a few individuals who, i.e. didn't sort out their paperwork. It's all their fault.
That was
the kind of view in the community at the time. I got involved in some of the cases because being a former councillor, I get approached. Even now, people think I'm still a politician. And so I got involved with one particular case, and I said, I'm not an immigration lawyer, et cetera, you know. But anyway, when I found out more about this particular individual, and his name is Alvaldo Romeo, who I got to know very well, and we're now good friends, along with his family. He's actually... His younger brother is a well-known musician, Jazzy B.
Right.
But at the time, we didn't want to talk about that connection with his brother because that would just deflect from his case and his situation. And I realised he came to Britain as a four-year-old from Antigua on his mother's passport. His mother worked for the NHS, and he's got children, grandchildren. He's worked all these years. He's in his 60s. He's even done jury service.
Wow.
And then he lost his passport. And then he got a letter from the Home Office saying, you've been an overstayer for the last 40 years, basically, which is ridiculous.
Wow.
And he came as a four-year-old. And so I realised this was not an individual situation. This was a class action against particularly, not just the Caribbean people, but lots of African people as well. And I've been on the show before on Colourful, and I've raised the issue that even though a lot of Caribbean people have come forward and yet still come forward to talk what's happened to them. A lot of people particularly from Ghana, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and other countries are also affected by it, but for some reason, they're not coming out as much compared to the Caribbean community. Right. But anyway, so I launched this petition in April on the UK government website because I felt this was a class action directed at black people. You know, other communities have been affected by that, but it's very clear that we were overrepresented again, like with other stuff, mental health, criminal justice, and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. It seemed to be, why is it all black people again being caught up in this another miscarriage of justice situation? So I launched a petition, and it went absolutely ballistic. Over 180,000 people signed the petition within 10 days.
Wow.
When you do these petitions on the UK government website, if you have 100,000 signatures, you automatically have a debate in Parliament.
Right. So do you know if that debate has happened?
Yeah, it happened.
Okay.
It happened on the 30th of April. But before the debate happened on the 30th of April, when I launched the petition, when it came live in early April, look, well, there were other factors happening. It wasn't just my petition. You had the Commonwealth Heads meeting in London, and a number of the Caribbean High Commissioners with their leaders of their governments were organising a private diplomatic meeting, trying to have a meeting with Theresa May ahead of the summit, just to say to her, we've got cases of our nationals from different parts of the Caribbean, what are you going to do about it? But she wasn't interested, didn't want to engage at all.
Mm.
But with the petition and plus what was happening in the media, that led to embarrassing the government, and then she was forced to have a meeting eventually. On top of that, There was obviously charities such as Joint Council for Welfare for Immigrants, who I work closely with, and others, who have been campaigning around the immigration racist policy that has afflicted not just black people, everyone of colour in Britain. So they've been doing that for many years, and along with other organisations as well. And also that, so in many ways, that led to this perfect storm of the petition, the heads of the Caribbean having concerns about the UK government's policies, campaigners and other activists out there, and that put that pressure. And then for some reason, then newspapers like the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, the Sun all got involved. And I think we have to be careful. It's great that they got involved, and that helped. Without their media profile, I don't think I would have got the level of signatures and making it as into a national story. Because you have to remember, between April last year up to June, Windrush scandal, the hostile environment was trending on social media virtually every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And on top of that, it was the first time ever that the British, great British public, inverted commas, understood why black people came to Britain.
Yes.
What we did, how we contributed, and the penny dropped.
Yeah.
And then people realised this is disgusting, that you've got people coming here as children, they've done their, they've worked, and actually a lot of people have been affected by the scandal are ordinary working class people, work for the NHS, social care, manufacturing, doing jobs in the background, you know. And so a lot of people identified that these are ordinary working class people that's been almost like shafted by the government. So that's why a lot of people got behind the campaign. And then when my petition hit 100,000, and actually I have to acknowledge that a lot of people tweeted and promoted the petition, like David Lammy. He was like retweeting my petition virtually every single day. You had a number of black celebrities, and not often black celebrities come out.
Yeah.
I have to acknowledge one particular celebrity, Beverly Knight.
Okay.
She's from Wolverhampton, my hometown. And she's been fantastic, along with other celebrities that came out, like Lenny Henry and David Haywood. But I have to particularly single out Beverly Knight, because she pushed it as well through her networks and connections as well. Unsung hero in terms of black British music completely. So basically, with this celebrities, and also there were letters written in the national newspapers, about five bishops wrote letters in the national press, raising issues. Everyone got involved, up and down the country. Everyone got involved, and when Parliament, so when I did my petition, it was while Parliament was on recess. So the first day after Parliament, by that time I'd already had my 100,000 signatures. I already had my date fixed for the debate, the formal debate in Parliament. But as soon as Parliament got back from their Easter break, every single day there was a debate in Parliament. So, you know, obviously you know about David Lammy's landmark speech, National Day of Shame, but every single day MPs across all political parties, and you had this weird situation where you had almost like a coalition of support for the Windrush generation.
Mm.
You had loads of hardcore Brexiteers, like Rees-Mogg, to Caroline Lucas. So you've got the whole cross-section of left and right and centre politically all challenging the government.
Mm.
So that's why the government had to apologise. That's why Amber Rudd lost her job, because she misled Parliament on three occasions. And then Theresa May has apologised at least 6-7 times. Three things happened. They launched the Windrush compensation scheme. That should be launched. We'll find out in next month or so what the scheme will look like. And you might want to do a feature on that. You might want to invite Martin Ford, the barrister, the QC, who's leading on that, to get his views. But the reason why I launched the Windrush Justice Fund, which is even more important now because of what's happened recently with the deportation flights, is a lot of people don't trust the Home Office.
Yeah.
For a whole variety of reasons. And it's quite apparent, because some of the people on that flight were treated quite appallingly. They weren't meant to be on that flight at all. They were treated as criminals in the wider sense that there was made up by the Home Secretary.
Do you think that's acting as a barrier to stop, prevent people coming forward?
I think
forward?
It will now, because when I launched the fund in April last year, it was on the premise that people have to sort out their status. That is still important. There are thousands and thousands of people from the African Caribbean community who have not still come forward. They need to come forward at some stage, but the idea of the fund is to give grants to grassroots organisations, faith groups, who have access to those individuals
directly
and the community,
to the people,
and to work in partnership with lawyers and legal advice agencies, so they can get the right advice, the right independent, confidential advice, and then they can decide, yes, I will go to the Home Office or not, to try and formally make an application under the Windrush scheme, which is fast tracking. And to be fair, a lot of people have had their paperwork sorted out. Mm-hmm. I've known people who've been living in the shadows for far too long. Now they're sorted, and now they can actually travel for the first time for many decades.
Yeah.
Not knowing that if I did travel, I might not come back in the country again. So I think a lot of people have benefited from that, but there are more people out there in the community that need to come forward. The deportation flights, obviously, is a barrier because people think twice now. These people came forward and they still got deported.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, each case is different. We have to recognise that. That's why it's important that people get independent advice so they can make the right choices, etc. So the Justice Fund was launched last year. It's in partnership with GoFundMe, which is a crowdfunding platform for all kind of causes. And they actually approached me because I saw my petition, and they were quite successful in raising money for the Me Too campaign, particularly in America. And they said to me, can we help you raise money? I said, great, fantastic. And then I approached JCWI, Joint Council for Welfare for Immigrants, a respected charity, and they are holding on to the money because I can't as an individual. So the money goes straight to their account, and what we're going to do is we'll be giving out small grants over the next few months to community organisations, not just in London. The money that we've now got support from in London will help the London groups, but this is a national scheme as well.
Okay, that's brilliant. Okay, what we're going to do now, we're going to take a break and we're going to go to this track. And then afterwards, we might be speaking to the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan.
Colourful.
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 Colourful. Colourful radio.
Oh, na, 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 na. You got to be a soldier. You got to fight on, yeah. Think I'm gonna stand by and wipe the tears from my dreary eyes. If you think you got to move on, do what you gotta do and leave this alone, yeah. There's no time for moaning and groaning. We're big people, we've got to be strong. Life goes on and on and on. Leave me alone, I'm a soldier, don't you know? As the world keeps turning.
Colourful,
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 colourful, colourful radio.
Hello, good morning, everybody. It's Sinai Flurry. I'm here at Colourful Events, filling in for Gracie. On the line, we do have the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, who is going to be talking to us about the Windrush Justice Fund. And he's also going to be making a very special announcement. Good morning, Mr. Khan. How are you?
Hi. Good to be with you and good to be in Colourful Radio. How's it going?
Hi, we're very well, thank you. Could you tell us this morning about this special announcement that you have?
Well, look, I mean, you heard from Patrick Vernon, who established the Windrush Justice Fund. And the idea was, he was outraged, like many of us were, at the Windrush scandal and the way the Windrush generation and their children and grandchildren had been treated. And Patrick set up this fund to raise money so that the grassroots organizations could help those affected by the government's hostile environments. They can get legal access, advice to legal advice, and access to other assistance. So what I'm pleased to announce today, exclusively on Colourful Radio, is that here at City Hall, we're going to match fund all the money they've raised. And so we'll be contributing £20,000 to help members of the Windrush generation gain access to support services. And, you know, I think it's the least we can do from City Hall to help all those people across London and across the country who've been helping Patrick and the Windrush Justice Fund.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. I've actually got Patrick Vernon in the studio with me. So, Patrick, I mean, what do you want to say to the mayor?
Hi, Sadiq. How are you?
Hey, Patrick. Good to speak to you, man.
Good. Well, I just want to say thank you very much for your support. Anyway, as a lawyer, I know deep down you're still a lawyer, even though you're a politician, you know why this fund is important. So I just want to thank you very much, and also JCWI, who I'm working closely with on this as well. And it's really great that you're supporting this, and I know you've been very outspoken right from the off around how the Windrush generation have been treated, And we just, and I think the key thing now is to make sure that we can get as many people, Londoners, who are unsure about their settled status, to be, to get the right and independent advice.
Well, then, Patrick, can I just say this? Can I thank you for what you're doing? But many listeners may not realise this. Patrick, you will. But one of the things that Patrick's been critical about, and so have I, is the way our history is portrayed to people now and to previous generations. And Patrick helped us in City Hall have a number of events last year to celebrate the arrival of the Windrush generation. And, you know, we all remember the service at Westminster Abbey, the spirit of Windrush. And one of the things, Patrick, I know you're doing day in, day out, is making sure we are aware of the contribution made to our city by successive generations of those who've arrived from not just the West Indies, but also around the world, but also reminding ourselves, I'm afraid, some of the bad things previous generations of Britons have done, and reminding those in relation to not just slavery and the abolition, but other things as well. I think what's really important, Patrick, is for us to celebrate the fantastic contribution Londoners have made to your fundraising. It's quite remarkable. You've already raised almost £20,000 from actually some of the poorest Londoners contributing towards the work that you're doing. But also, what I'm pleased about is that what the Windrush Justice Fund is doing is working with experts like the JCWI and many others to make sure this money reaches those individuals who need it the most. So thank you, Patrick, for the work you're doing.
No, and thanks for your support as always, Sadiq. And also, I just want to acknowledge your former Deputy Mayor, Matthew Ryder, who was interested in this while he's working with you. And so I just want to also publicly thank him as well.
No, it's good. And can I just say this to the Colourful Radio listeners? We still want to raise more money. And so, you know, I appointed London's first ever Deputy Mayor for Social Integration, Matthew Ryder QC. He's returned to his legal practice. But the new Deputy Mayor, Dr. Debbie Weeks-Bernard, is also committed, like I am, to making sure that we recognise the massive contribution made by the Windrush generation. But also, listen, the Windrush scandal is a stain on the nation's conscience. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we raise monies to help those who need our assistance through expert groups like the JCWI. They will work with expert lawyers. They will work with other community organisations to make sure these grants of between £200 and £2,000 reaches those who need it the most. And anybody who saw TV last week or listened to the radio or read the newspaper coverage in excellent papers like The Guardian and The Voice would have seen this is still taking place. Yeah. There are still people being deported, and the concern is they're being wrongly deported. That's why the work Patrick's doing is so important, because he's making sure some vulnerable people are receiving expert advice.
Yeah. I mean, Sadiq, I mean, what do you hope that this fund will achieve?
Well, look, the key thing is this. I recognise that with the best in the world, the state can't reach vulnerable individuals for a variety of reasons. I don't call individuals and communities hard to reach. I think we're hard to reach. And the great thing about the work Patrick's doing is he's providing a bridge between those who want to donate money to the group he set up, the Windrush Justice Fund, and City Hall is now giving the Windrush Justice Fund some additional money. We've match funded it. Now, the task of the Windrush Justice Fund is to work with experts, not just the not just JCWI, the Joint Council for the Welfare of Immigrants, but others, to make sure this money reaches those individuals who need it the most. And they could use it for all sorts of things. They could use it for legal advice, really, really important. They can use it for immigration support. They can reach it to have outreach workers to go and provide the outreach services the Windrush generation need, but also other Commonwealth citizens and their descendants. And the key thing is, you know, until this was you know, reached the national conscience because of the excellent work of the Guardian newspapers and others last year, this was all taking place. We just didn't know about it. And so, you know, Patrick's got contacts in these communities with these individuals to find out what's going on and what additional support they need.
I mean, I think it's amazing that you're contributing to the Windrush Justice Fund. And we know that there's been a £500,000 fund set up to celebrate Windrush throughout the year in the country. But what many people listening will really want to know is, will there be compensation for the victims?
Well, that's the key thing that the government's going to do now. One of the remarkable things is that the government said last year that there was a new Home Secretary appointed called Sajid Javid, who took over from the previous Home Secretary, who had to resign. And what we now know is there's been no compensation paid to any of the Windrush generation, even though a promise was made that they'd receive support. And so one of the things parliamentarians are doing, David Lammy raised this in the House of Commons only last week, is to make sure that this assistance reaches those who need it the most, the compensation you refer to. What we're doing also is helping those younger Londoners who haven't got the citizenship to make sure we help them have a path to citizenship as well. So the bad news is not only have the people you're talking about not received compensation as of yet, but there's a new generation of Londoners. They are Londoners, by the way. I don't care where the country of origin is, they're Londoners. They need to be given assistance to have their status settled as well.
Okay, that's great. I mean, I know you've got a busy day planned and we won't keep you much longer. My final question to you is, do you have a deadline of when you hope to fully resolve this scandal?
Well, that's a question that really has got to be asked for the government. We're doing what we can at City Hall. As you're aware, Patrick will know this, we aren't required by law to do this. We've got no statutory obligations. We're doing this because these are Londoners we're talking about. So, we are working with great groups like the fund you're talking about, the Windrush Justice Fund. We're working with them to lobby the government to move speedily, and it's really important the government makes progress. I've got a huge ability to put pressure on the government, and I'll use the office of City Hall to continue to put pressure on the government. In the meantime, as good citizens, we've got to make sure that we ensure the Windrush generation access the advice that they need. The Windrush compensation scheme, as of yet, hasn't paid out any money. The government's got to put pressure on them to put this money out as soon as possible. But we've got to make sure that the hostile environment created by this government ends once and for all.
Okay. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, thank you so much for talking to me. I'm Sinai Fileri.
Colourful. 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 Colourful Radio.